Hey, welcome back to the First Samuel Audio Devotional Podcast, and today is a special
Even Steven.
That's two Stevens and a Walker.
Walker Parmalee joins us today.
Walker Parmalee. You might know him from such hits as...
Walker, Texas Ranger.
I don't think he did that.
Oh, though. Okay.
No, it wasn't me.
It wasn't him.
My buddy, Chuck.
Chuck, that's Chuck.
You've got a lot of Chuck Norris type qualities, though, yeah. I got to admit.
Kind of a rugged manhood.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure, how many push-ups do you think you could do, Walker?
Two-handed or one?
Oh, wow.
See, that's it. One-handed more than both of us, I guarantee you.
So, let's have you get down and Thompson and I will climb on your back and we'll see how many you can do.
You're not kidding. Like, the first time I met Walker was at the YMCA back in 2003, 2004.
Wow. I remember.
Yeah. Good memory. He was part of that 6 a.m. early club.
The few and the faithful, I called us.
Yeah. The few and the faithful, who are there beyond January.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. They stick
all
it
all year long.
All year long. Yeah. That's right. Well, we're excited to have Walker join us today, and we've been hitting a lot of different stories over the course of this week. And so, Walker, what are some things that kind of caught your attention from this past week? Anything that you began to think about and wanted to maybe explore a little bit today?
The grace, I guess, is the best term that David handled initially when he saw Goliath and what was happening to the troops. And even Saul, and he wanted to see why are they letting this uncircumcised Philistine get away with this stuff. And he was looking at doing something about it. And the grace came when his own brother was busting his chop and accusing him of being conceited and evil. And so that really struck me how he didn't get very defensive. He just said, this is the deal, and moved forward and didn't get hooked into the sibling rivalry that was there.
Yeah, that didn't become the battle. Mm-hmm. He had a giant to face.
Yeah.
He didn't get sidetracked by an older brother.
Yeah. So that struck me. And then looking at the week, Steve Thompson's podcast on how David only had the slingshot, but he had more than the slingshot, and that he could have won that battle, I think you said, with a Kleenex.
Yeah.
I had a visual on that, but because God was with him, and he had faith in that God, and he didn't get caught up in the how intimidating this guy was, trying to be, but just flat was. He was near 9 foot tall and a big guy. And then the other thing is Steve had an interview.
Yeah, interview with King Saul.
King Saul.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. Did you like the accent of King Saul? I tried not to put one on too much.
You knew there was a real presence in the room when you...
Was it the horns?
The horns. That gave us a cue. I like the
Dang
horns.
Dang it. I'm going to out myself. I haven't listened to it yet, but I can't wait. What accent was it? Was it like a Scottish brogue?
Laren Flint said it was between a Steve Durr and Dirty Harry.
Nice.
I hate my day. Yeah.
Exactly. Here you go.
Are you feeling lucky?
Yeah. Here you go. Lucky sucker. Yeah.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Exactly. So on that day, what was the kind of the point that caught your attention?
What caught my attention was when Saul reflected and thought about, you know, how he got into this fearfulness and jealousy and hatred towards David, who was actually doing God's work and doing the work of Israel and enhancing it at some level Saul's kingdom.
Right.
But he was threatened by that. Mm. But then your introspective there, or what you did with that, was he recognized how it was beginning to eat away at him and change who Saul was as a person. And there was a cautionary note there for the listener.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really good, because it's so easy for us to get off track in our lives and to not listen to God, not listen to our own heart that has nudgings from God, and take the easier path.
How have you encountered that in your own life, whether in your practice as a counselor over the years or in yourself, where maybe you've seen that?
Well, in the practice, the gift is seeing people recognize it and move away from it. But I've used the analogy of a tuning fork. And when you hit a tuning fork, it just hums. Well, I think that when we're in harmony with our values, with God's leading in our life, what really floats our boat, we hum. Mm. But often we get off track, and the noise that gets made sounds more like a garbage can lid, the old metal, the old... Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't hum. It doesn't resonate. And we can do that when we look at the easier route to take, or we get hooked into our own insecurities or unexamined issues. And so it creates more and more problems. Mm. You can ignore it, but it doesn't go away, whatever it is. It's like you should go to the dentist. Who likes to go to the dentist? No offense.
Dentists out there, thankful for you, dentists.
But, you know, somebody else's fingers in your mouth with sharp instruments, right?
Right.
But we know that if you ignore this issue, it's going to come back and get you.
Yeah.
And so in my own life, I've tried to look at, don't ignore this stuff because it is going to come back and get you. And that could be putting off doing a chore that you don't like to do or dealing with a relationship issue. I remember in my practice, I had one of my coworkers came to me and said, so-and-so, who was also part of the practice, is concerned that you're upset with her. And I said, well, I'm not.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know me well yet, but she's not going to have to guess if I'm upset with her. And I'm not going to stomp my feet and gnash my teeth. I'll just talk to her about it. So yeah. I'm not saying anything. It's okay. So I was glad they came up with that. But if you are upset with somebody or you're concerned about something, you don't address it, there's avoidance, there's resentment, there's all these things that can come up. So in my practice, I would see people on a consistent basis that were avoiding doing what they needed to do to make their lives more honest and healthy. And it would cause other problems. Mm. So.
Yeah. What have been some of the best practices that you've come across to help us gain that awareness, that self-awareness, to even know when we're getting off from where we should be?
One of the things that I've really tried to plug in for myself is I can easily become a human doer. I can get very busy. And I recognize that I'm a recovering workaholic. And I'm getting pretty good at recovering now in retirement.
In retirement. Yeah. Good I'm job.
Really, yeah, isn't that great? But in that busyness, in all that noise that can happen in our lives, and it's all good stuff. You know, I'm doing important things, but you get so busy, you don't have time to really take that inventory or to notice what's going on. Or it's hard for other people to get a beat on you, to give you some feedback because you're a moving target. So one of the things that I've done is consciously try to create space in my life so I can be quiet, that I can have time to be in my own thoughts, but also be in the Word, be in Scripture, and time and prayer, and be involved with other believers that can hold me accountable, and as well as my bride, who has been a really good sounding board over the years, and will be someone that will let me know if I'm getting off the rails a little bit. So those are some of the things, but I just knowing yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. An interesting side note to accountable and accountability, I think it's kind of gained a bad rap a lot in our culture. I mean, it's very needed, but it's seen as kind of an oppressive structure. But I've been able to see that a little bit more positively in terms of people in your life who know who you want to be and your values, and they've got enough trust with you to ask the question. Yes. They don't point their finger, they don't accuse you, they don't shame you. They're just like, hey, is that really what you want to be about? And it was actually that came through a lady who I'm in a group with who speaks Arabic, and she was trying to translate the word accountability into Arabic, and they don't have a direct one-for-one word. And so she just came up with questions, one who questions. And so I thought that was really interesting. Yeah. People who can question you in your life.
And for me, when I've asked for that accountability, but when I've gotten that too, I really look at it as a caring act. You care enough to say something.
Yeah.
Somebody else doesn't even notice or doesn't want to have this moment that could be awkward. But if you really care about me, you know, you're gonna check on something.
Yeah. It is interesting because Saul, the only person who really held him accountable, obviously God, through Samuel. Like Samuel did not seem too concerned about holding him accountable. Like if he was speaking for God. Obviously, he was worried, you know, when he went to go look for David or entered Bethlehem. He was a little concerned then. Mm-hmm. But he was able to say the words. But I imagine this is the difficult thing in our lives. If we come off like we're not interested or open to that.
Absolutely.
Like for you, you're saying, no, I'm inviting some from people that I care about. But for someone like a king or a ruler like Saul, it's you can't. I mean, you do, and you pay the price.
Maybe a little defensive.
Might be a little defensive.
Yeah.
And it really was Saul's insecurities that we saw coming out almost from day one that he would try to cover up with bravado or...
When I've read through this, I relate so much to him in so many different ways. Mm. He just has a lot of opportunity to really put it on display.
Oh, yeah.
Like, right. It's just accentuated.
Sure.
We all the have bigger our the little podium, struggles.
Yeah, the more exposed you are for that.
Yeah. We could see ourselves in Saul. I think if any of us are honest, you know, with the insecurities and the jealousy, it was just a much larger stage that he was on. And to catch ourselves, because it does affect us when we let that happen. It affects relationships where could be, as you know, if you get some hot shot youngster that comes in here and can really preach the word and go, whoa, awesome, but
we get weeks off.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a week off.
Like, that's hey, can you tone it down? You're outdoing me.
Yeah, you're outdoing me, man. Slow down.
Awesome. Well, it's so great having Walker with us.
It is.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
And Walker, just real quick, just so people get to know you a little bit, you and your wife, Gail, how long have you guys been married?
We celebrated 50 years of marital bliss.
Of bliss. Oh, it's all been bliss the whole time?
My side. Gail, you talked to her.
Yeah, for sure.
That was in January.
Congratulations.
That's great. Yeah. That's awesome. I was 12 when we got married. She was 11. It was an arranged thing.
Okay. Socially acceptable back then.
It was. Back then on the playground. I don't know. Did you guys ever get married to someone on a playground in elementary school? I felt like it was a thing for a second.
It was in my basement under the stairs.
That wasn't me. I was probably getting hit by a stick or hitting somebody with a stick. But
well, that's how we said how we loved each other back then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, that's called flirting. Yeah.
So,
that's
50 awesome. Years, it's been 50. Great.
Wow, and, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's the most patient woman in the world.
Hopefully patient enough to listen to this.
Oh, man.
So it's been great having you as a part of Watermark, too, and your family at various times as well. So your kids and your grandkids. So we love your family.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Love being here.
Would you mind wrapping us up in prayer?
Yeah, I'd be glad to do that.
Thanks.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this church family. We thank you for this opportunity as a church family to study your word and to be on the same page literally together. And I appreciate the leadership here, Lord. I pray for us that we will be open to your guidance, that we can learn these lessons from these ancient stories and your word, and that we can apply those to our lives. Thank you for all your good gifts, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah.